and accept the desires of Krishna and the desires of the spiritual master, accept them as our desires. Accept their concepts as our concepts. Their activities as our activities. In this way, whatever our material background may be, it all falls away. And everything merges in a Vaishnava sense, merges onto the transcendental platform. In fact, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura, this is one point that comes out a little bit in the Ishapanishad course we're going to start this evening. Bhaktivinoda Thakura, he makes the point that the impersonalists want to become one with God in a very literal sense. And he makes the point that the Vaishnavas, they also, in one sense at least, they want to become one. So what is the nature of that oneness in the case of the devotees? That oneness is in the sense that Krishna has certain desires, and so the devotee makes those desires of Krishna his desires. So they're one in desire. Desire, of course, is really the most important aspect of our being. So we become one in that very important aspect of desire. But then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura goes on to say that he gives the example of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda, he did this. He made the desire of Lord Chaitanya his desire. He gave up his own desires. He made that desire to spread Krishna consciousness and to give even the most fallen conditioned souls Krishna consciousness. That desire of Lord Chaitanya, he made his desire. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes the point that Lord Nityananda, he made that desire of Lord Chaitanya's his desire to such an extent that his desire, his version of that desire, was even stronger than Lord Chaitanya's. And he gives the example of Jagaya Madai. When Lord Chaitanya came upon the scene and saw Jagaya and Madai and their very degraded condition, he wanted to kill them, even though he is Patita Pavana. That's his mission. But he wanted to kill them. However, Lord Nityananda had made Lord Chaitanya's desire to deliver the conditioned souls his own desire to such an extent that he stopped Lord Chaitanya from killing them and got Lord Chaitanya to accept them. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura makes the point that Lord Nityananda, he had accepted Lord Chaitanya's desire more than Lord Chaitanya held that desire. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura then makes a very interesting point that Lord Nityananda, in one sense, you could say, was more one with Krishna or more one with Lord Chaitanya than Lord Chaitanya was. Of course, that, little unusual idea. Little inconceivable. But he was more one with Lord Chaitanya than Lord Chaitanya was one with himself. And in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakura says that if you want to become one with God, like the impersonalists, then become a devotee in this way, and you'll become even more one with God than you could possibly hope to in any other way. Yes, so this is Vaishnav oneness. And of course, obviously, not that it contradicts the idea of being the eternal servant and being a person and like this. Not at all. It's an integral part of personalism, actually. So, whatever our background may be, we may come from the background of the, at least, prone to be more emotional woman. We may come from the background of being also emotional, but not as emotional, but perhaps a little more on the controlling side, male body. But if we make the instructions of the spiritual master and of Lord Krishna one with our heart, and we actually immerse our lives and immerse our consciousness in those things, then all these other considerations fall away. They end up becoming anatha, in fact. Male, female, this race, that race, this age, that age, old, young, materially competent, materially less competent. If our minds remain attached to these ideas as we're trying to advance in Krishna consciousness, actually they become anatha. They become contaminations. So, in fact, in Padma Purana, and Rupa Goswami quotes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that, what is that verse? Anyway, he says that anyone who considers the deity to be just a statue made of stone, metal, wood, or the spiritual master to be an ordinary person, or the holy name to be some ordinary sound vibration, or the charanamrita of the Lord to be some ordinary liquid, or the Vaishnav to be coming from some material background, and that we identify that, oh yes, here we have a certain type of Vaishnav in terms of material background. Then he says, Narakisa, that such a person is already a resident of hell. Narak means hell. So Narakisa, that person's already a resident of hell, if they're thinking in those terms. Krishna consciousness is transcendental. Of course, because we are also prone to, if circumstances are maybe in certain ways, we may be prone also to come back to the material platform. Then even though Krishna consciousness is wholly and solely transcendental, still we may apply certain considerations in terms of social dealings. But this is simply as like a guard, some protection. Otherwise, Krishna consciousness is simply going on the spiritual platform. As Srimad Bhagavatam begins by saying, Dharma Projita Kaito Votra Paramoni Matsaranam Satam. That the Srimad Bhagavatam begins by completely rejecting all religious considerations which are materially motivated. It begins by completely rejecting them. And then it begins. And then you actually start in the process. However, from our own point of view, we should bear in mind that I'm from a fallen background. And I should remember that and not become proud that just see now I'm very spiritual. But we should remember, actually, as Mother Devahuti is doing, she's very advanced, extremely advanced person. She's so advanced that in her previous lifetime, or no, in the next lifetime also, anyway, in various lifetimes, not just one, that would be enough, but more than one, three lifetimes, four lifetimes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead chooses to accept her as his mother. She's so elevated. Even she also, in somewhat later, takes birth as Devaki and gives birth to Lord Krishna himself. So she's a very exalted person. She's not just some foolish type of conditioned soul. But in her humility, and also we can take that example very nicely, she's considering herself in those terms. that I'm very fallen, actually. I'm very disqualified. Therefore, please give me some mercy. Please be very kind to me and help me in my devotional service. So we should try and emulate these ideas, and this will help us in our Krishna consciousness. Any comments or questions? Well, the thing is that we already have a relationship, but it's covered. Yeah, it's covered over. So, best idea is just go through the training, like the general training procedures, general course of Krishna consciousness, and it'll come out in due course of time. It's just like, in a sense, that like a child walking, it's already there. It's already there. And if they're just brought up nicely by the parents and encouraged nicely, it'll come out. But if at age, you know, 1 week, they try to get the child to walk, it's foolishness. But in time it'll come. In time it'll come. So it's like that. There's general training needed, just like for a little baby. There's general training needed, and walking will come in due course of time. So we don't want to become, you know, if we try and do like that sort of force artificially, then just like if you try and get a 1 week old child to walk, you know, the child may get hurt, fall over and hurt himself or herself. So you better just let it come, and it will come. Even another danger is that we have our desire, our attractions, all of our attractions practically, they're tinged materially. When we're on the material platform, all our attractions are completely material. So if you have a male body, you'll have certain attractions. So you may think, oh, let me have a relationship with Krishna in terms of my material nature. Actually, you already have an eternal relationship with Krishna. It may be something totally different. We don't know. No, you may be one, you may be female in Krishna's, in your relationship with Krishna, actually. You may be, you know, who knows? There's no guarantee you're going to be a young man. So if you start trying to adopt a certain relationship on the basis of imagination, then that will become like an impediment to the real realization of the real relationship manifesting. Yeah. So don't worry about it too much. Krishna will reveal in time everything.
And if everybody is, there is advanced, but it's obvious, is how is it that she can turn into material creation?
Oh, this is her. She prayed for that. She prayed for that. She wanted to render such a service. Yeah. Actually, that's her eternal relationship. Yeah. So sometimes Krishna, some devotees have a service to Krishna which involves them appearing in the material world regularly in whatever capacity. Like Arjuna, he's always appearing in the material world. He's always appearing in the material world. In the spiritual world, there's no battle of Kurukshetra for Arjuna. And that's his, like his big service, his main service, taking part in Bhagavad Gita. So Arjuna is always appearing in the material world as part of Krishna's mission, not like us, not like us, but as part of Krishna's mission. And the same principle applies with Devahuti. Well, I haven't read any record of it, so I don't know. Yeah. I know Lord Chaitanya embraced some trees somewhere, sometime. They went back to Godhead on the spot. And even the trees themselves disappeared. So, in the cases of these animals, that it's not described, you know, when Lord Chaitanya continued on his way and they stayed back, that's not really described. There's one interesting account that is of one of the followers of Shyamananda Pandit, his actually main disciple. His name was Rasikananda, and he was a very remarkable devotee. So there was one, he was a very famous devotee, and at the time the country was controlled by the Muslims. So, you know, it was difficult. So he passed through one kingdom, or sort of like small area controlled by one man, whether he was really, you know, a king or not, but at least he was in control of the area, and he was a Muslim. So, and he was a very nasty person. He would always abuse the devotees. So he heard that there's this big, popular, famous saint, Rasikananda, passing through my area. Let me go and harass him. So he went. And they met in one village, or town, sort of village town, some sort of settlement. And they were talking, and the Muslim was sort of, you know, in a very offensive way, trying to find fault. Then, right at that moment, one mad elephant, huge elephant, attacked the town or the village, smashing the huts, you know, just little flimsy little dwellings that people have there. So smashing these, people were running away. So the Muslim told Rasikananda that, you know, we don't like you, we want to kill you. So, but if you can stop this elephant, then we won't kill you. Of course, the elephant was killing people, actually. So it was either the Muslims or the elephant. So Rasikananda, he said, okay. And he turned around, he just walked up to the elephant and started preaching to the elephant. And the elephant stopped in his tracks and just became transfixed. And Rasikananda was preaching to him that you're not this body. What nonsense is this? Strongly. He was really preaching to him, forcefully. And the elephant was just stunned for minutes. It went on and on. I don't know how long, but it went on for some time. Then Rasikananda finally told the elephant, so you surrender to Krishna and you chant Hare Krishna. And the elephant started chanting Hare Krishna. Then the elephant offered his obeisances to Rasikananda. Then the elephant circumambulated Rasikananda and offered his obeisances as he was going, like Dandavat Parikrama, all around Rasikananda, 100 times. Then Rasikananda initiated him, gave him the name Gopal Das, and he became a very prominent preacher amongst the elephant community. And when Rasikananda, he was a traveling preacher, he traveled all over. When he was passing through the area, Gopal Das would bring his elephant friends and they'd offer their obeisances to Rasikananda. And when Rasikananda was in the area, he would go and beg, Gopal would go and beg rice and foodstuffs and deliver them for Rasikananda. So he's listed amongst the famous disciples of Rasikananda. So he carried on, at least according to the description given there.